Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, December the 17th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you bestow upon us day by day. We're grateful for all that you continue to do for us. And we know that your love is sincere and continual. We ask, Lord, that you can continue to prepare us for the time to come, giving us the strength that is necessary day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's subject is Jimmy Carter's decision. That's right, I'm talking about the president. Jimmy Carter's decision. Now, before I read the article, that is an excerpt from a book written by Jonathan Alter. And the title of the book is His Very Best, Jimmy Carter, A Life. That's the name of the book. His Very Best, Jimmy Carter, The Life. I'd like to read a couple of quotes that are found in the Spirit of Prophecy. Review and Herald, April the 23rd, 1889. And paragraph 5 says, already preparations are advancing and movements are in progress, which will result in making an image to the beast. Events will be brought about in this earth's history that will fulfill the predictions of prophecy for these last days. Of course, you know the image to the beast has to do with what the United States of America was prophesied to be able to do in order to make an image to the beast, and the beast being the papacy, setting up a kind of authoritarian, dragon-like government that is described in Revelation chapter 13. And of course, she's writing this in 1889, where she says that this is already beginning to happen. Now, of course, in 1889, that was around the time when the National Reform Movement was trying to change the Constitution so that it would include a day of worship. Also, it would include the Word of God, so that they would be able to say that the United States of America was a Christian nation. Now, that terminology that they were using did not mean that it was a good nation, that was a moral nation, but it also meant that it was an exclusionary Christian nation, meaning that it did not welcome or embrace any other religion at all, but that it was specifically for the establishment of Christianity. Now, that's what their real definition was. When you hear the Dominionists talking today and you read the books that they've been writing, Rush Dooney's book and Gary North's book, they make the point clearly that if you're not going to be a Christian, then your citizenship should be rescinded. Now, in 1889, she's saying that already preparations are advancing and movements are in progress, which will result in making an image to the beast. All right? And she's right about that, because the National Reform Movement got started in 1864. Around that same time, that 1800s, that's when they were really attempting to change the Constitution and doing all kinds of things to amend the First Amendment, so they did not include something like freedom of conscience, liberty of conscience, and that kind of issue. And so she's quite accurate when she says in 1889 that preparations are advancing and movements are in progress, which will result in making an image to the beast. Events will be brought about in earth's history that will fulfill the predictions of prophecy for these last days. And then in the very next paragraph, paragraph 6, it says, decisions will be called for and made. Backsliders will either return decidedly to their allegiance to God, or they will be enrolled in the ranks of the enemy. So now she's making the point that when these laws are brought about, when they successfully put them in place, people are going to have an opportunity to make a choice. Backsliders will either return to their allegiance to God, or They will be enrolled in the ranks of the enemy. There will be no middle ground. Continuing. Satan will have control of all who finally refuse to be controlled by the law of God. Now, those two paragraphs are found in Review and Herald, April the 23rd, 1889. That's paragraphs 5 and 6. Just one other quote before we get to the article. In Signs of the Times, March the 22nd, 1910, paragraph 9. Again, Signs of the Times, March the 22nd, 1910, paragraph 9. And that would have been 5 years before she passed away. It says, when the Protestant churches shall unite with the secular power to sustain a false religion for opposing which their ancestors endured the fiercest persecution. And you know, it's really amazing that she's making this point. Because you would not believe what the ancestors of the Protestants went through during the time of Martin Luther and all of those men who are known to be the Protestants, the pioneers of the Protestants. They went through so much, and they endured so much, and they were martyred, so many of them. And then she makes the point in 1910, when the Protestant churches shall unite with the secular power to sustain a false religion for opposing which their ancestors endured the fiercest persecution. And then she continues, when the state shall use its power to enforce the decrees and sustain the institutions of the church. And by the church, she's talking about here the false church now, not the real church. All right? Then will Protestant America have formed an image to the papacy. And she's making it clear who the beast is, right? And there will be a national apostasy which will end only in national ruin. All right? So those are three quotes that we read. First one, Review and Herald, April the 23rd, 1889. Paragraphs 5 and 6, and the last one, Signs of the Times, March the 22nd, 1910, paragraph 9. So now we're going to take a look at this excerpt from the book written by Jonathan Alter, His Very Best, Jimmy Carter, A Life. And the title that he is excerpting from the book is Jimmy Carter's Struggle to Separate Church and State. The article was published in November the 12th, 2020. Here's some of this excerpt. Jimmy Carter is known as a man of faith, but not many Americans understand the depth of his belief in the separation of church and state. He often noted that the Baptist Church in America was founded in part on that principle. As president, he refused to have prayer breakfasts in the White House, or to let his own religious views shape public policy. Now, this is something to remember, okay? And you know, he served only one term. As a matter of fact, back in the time when he became president, the National Reform Association, they were so happy that he became president because they knew he was a Christian, and they knew he was a devout Christian, and they were hoping that he would help them to put together the program that they had, because they wanted to bring together church and state. And this man would not do it. He just would not do it. He just would not back them on it. And so the reason why he only served one term was because after they discovered that when he became president, he did not join them in this desire to bring church and state together, they turned against him. So the reason why he lost that election, the second one, was because the Protestants, the evangelicals, turned against him because he would not join together with them to turn this into a Christian nation. And for those of you who didn't know that, now you know it, okay? So let me read that paragraph for you again. Jimmy Carter is known as a man of faith, but not many Americans understand the depth of his belief in the separation of church and state. He often noted that the Baptist Church in America was founded in part on that principle of the separation of church and state. You wouldn't believe that today, though, okay? Continuing. As president, he refused to have prayer breakfast in the White House or to let his own religious views shape his public policy. Continuing. When Mr. Carter was elected president in 1976, just 3 years after Roe versus Wade, the battle lines on abortion that would condition politics for the next 4 decades were not yet fully drawn. A nuanced petition still worked in the Democratic Party. Mr. Carter criticized the idea of a constitutional amendment banning it, but also opposed federally funded Medicaid abortions, which raised hackles with liberals, and stressed his personal opposition. "I never have thought Jesus Christ would approve abortion," he told me in an interview in 2017. Still the same Carter. Still the same Carter. Mr. Carter recalled praying more in the White House than at any other time in his life, as often as 30 times a day. As president, Mr. Carter struggled sometimes to reconcile his faith with his secular obligations. He confessed as much to Pope John Paul II in October 1979 when the pontiff made his first ever papal visit to the White House. They agreed that if Christ still walked the earth, he would favor the celibacy of priests and the right to live, which meant opposing both abortions and the death penalty. "I told him it was difficult for me as a politician sworn to uphold our laws to live with the concept of permissive abortion," Mr. Carter recalled in a diary he kept while in the White House, "but he was never one to impose his personal religious views on anyone else." Mr. Carter later recalled praying more in the White House than at any other time in his life. "Even when I was reluctant to share my problems and my unanswered question with any other human being, including Rosalind," that was his wife, "I was always able to share them with God," he wrote in his 2001 book, Living Faith. Mr. Carter was an engineer by training, and even his prayers as president were subject to engineering. As he recounted in Living Faith, he broke them into 3 key questions for God's guidance, essentially. 1, are the goals I am pursuing appropriate? 2, am I doing the right thing based on my perpetual moral code, my Christian faith, and the duties of my current position? And 3, have I done my best based on the alternatives open to me? That focus on his best was really far from his mind. Now, if you know anything about Jimmy Carter, you'll know that he was that kind of man. He prayed for about every decision that he made. Okay, so the article continues. Listen to what it says. After leaving the presidency, Mr. Carter took on the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination in the United States, with nearly 50,000 mostly white Baptist churches coming under its umbrella. The Southern Baptist Convention had always allowed local autonomy for its churches. That began to change in the 1980s when ultra-conservative leaders turned the Southern Baptist Convention into a political organization. And of course, that's why President Carter took him on. He didn't want to see that because he was fully convinced that biblically, church and state should be separate. Continuing the article, it says this. In 1998, the Southern Baptist Convention decreed that women must submit to their husbands and could no longer be pastors. It elevated a literal interpretation of the Bible above the message of Jesus, a move Mr. Carter rejected and kicked independent-minded churches out of the convention. A clear violation, Mr. Carter believed, of the principle of local control in the Baptist church. So they began to do some things that were political in substance and not according to the Word of God. Continuing the article, it says, 2 years later, he quit the Southern Baptist Convention in protest. Mr. Carter decried what he called an inexorable merger of the Southern Baptists with the conservative wing of the Republican Party. Now, that's back in the early years. And he saw this coming. He saw this coming back then after he had left the White House in the 1980s. And he left in the 1980s. All right. He left the Baptist Convention because he saw them moving to be a conservative, political entity. He saw a merger between the Southern Baptist Convention and the conservative wing of the Republican Party. Continuing the article, it says, his 2005 book, Our Endangered Values, included a sharp attack on right-wing evangelicals, and he lectured often on narrow, self-serving, authoritarian males. Now, this is 2099. I mean, this is 2005. Okay? And he's writing back then on the narrow, self-serving, authoritarian males. And he describes them as so convinced of their own morality that they cast the opposition not just as wrong, but as evil. So he's saying, not only do they think that they're the greatest thing since sliced cheese, but they are judging people. And anybody who does not agree with them, they immediately consider them to be evil. Continuing the article, it says, he lectured often on narrow, self-serving, authoritarian males who are so convinced of their own morality that they cast the opposition not just as wrong, but as evil. Mr. Carter also spoke out strongly against the death penalty, which his wife Rosling had converted him on, and against the war on drugs and mass incarceration in the United States. All right. So here we see now Mr. Carter, Jimmy Carter, parting with, and he's a devout Christian now, biblical Christian, as a matter of fact. You see this man parting from the Baptist Church, the Baptist Convention, not the church itself, but from the Southern Baptist Convention, because of their political tendencies, and they're joining with the far right conservative Republican Party. Here's some more of the article. Mr. Carter soon became a major voice in encouraging Baptists to form new partnerships. In 2008, he spearheaded the New Baptist Covenant, which brought together black and white churches around racial justice. He was also against segregation. He also helped more moderate Baptists form the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, which has grown to about 1,900 affiliated churches. In an effort to find common ground with conservatives, Mr. Carter accepted an invitation in 2018 to speak at Liberty University, founded by Jerry Falwell Sr., and was warmly received. Amy Butler, who served as the pastor of New York Riverside Church, told me he represents the best of what it means to be a Baptist in the 21st century. In his 90th year, now he's 90 years old, in 2014, Mr. Carter wrote one of his best books. And the title of the book is A Call to Action, Women, Religion, Violence, and Power. A searing depiction of what he called the worst human rights abuse on earth. The mistreatment of women. Now you see, the decision that this man is making here have to do with his connection with the Word of God. He totally and absolutely embraced the truth as he found it in the Word of God. Was willing to part from the Southern Baptist Convention because they became a political entity rather than the Word of God. And Carter continued to teach Sunday school. As a matter of fact, it's amazing some of the things that you read about, the things that he did as you look at his life after his presidency. Listen to this. One day, long after Mr. Carter left the White House, a visitor to Plains, Georgia, came upon an old man in a cap mowing the grass behind the church. Isn't that the place where Jimmy Carter teaches Sunday school? The visitor asked. Yes, it is, Jimmy Carter replied with a smile before resuming his course. In other words, he was the man who was mowing the grass behind the church in a cap. The article describes him as an old man. Rosling at that time was vacuuming in the church. Okay? Jimmy and Rosling could often be found in planes eating off paper plates at church suppers, chatting with visitors, as if there were just another elderly couple in town. Now that's an amazing thing, because one of the reasons why I wanted to share this article with you, and in case you don't have his books, I have a couple of them, but you'll find that he really is embracing everything he knows. And he's doing the best he knows how to do to live out that which he and Rosalind committed to in the beginning of their walk with God. And he must be accredited for doing that. I'm sure you're aware of the fact that he's had some medical challenges, things that really considered very, very threatening. But God has brought him through. And just this year, I saw on television where he was helping people to build some houses. He's way past his 90s, way past 90. But he's still out there doing the best he can to help those who are in need. It is a tremendous example of someone who decided that they were going to hold fast to that which they believed, hold fast to the word of God, and make the right choice. And it didn't matter that all of the evangelicals turned against him when they discovered that he wasn't willing to turn the United States of America into a Christian nation or a theocracy. It didn't matter. He preferred to give up his role as president and stand firm in his beliefs as a child of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, today that we can find examples in people who are not even members of our faith, but who have done the best they know how to do based upon what they know about your word. We ask, Lord, that you would give us the kind of strength and conviction that we will be able to stand for those things that we believe and make sure that we are standing with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been your Daily Briefing, December the 17th, 2020.